Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Michael Harding, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
How are you?
I'm really good. I couldn't be better.
Good.
I'm dripping with happiness.
Yeah, you look well.
Yeah. And part of it is listening to that amazing interview. I thought it was full of joy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Victoria was talking about her beloved and the loss of him. And yet she was saying she hasn't lost him. It was utterly beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she's extraordinary, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So now you have picked for us some music that has meant something for you over your life. So will we get down to it? The first one is Ascuelga. This is your memories of a young lad in the Gaeltacht, is it?
Well, I love Donegal, and at the moment I'm working on a book up there. But I started going to Donegal when I was 11. I did 4 summers in the Gaeltacht. And I got my first kiss in the Gaeltacht. And it was really, really a scary moment. It was like landing on the moon. It was landing on the other person, you know, lip to lip. And I was about 11 or 12. And it was at a Cayley in Aranmore. And then all the boys were saying, it's time you went out with her. And all the girls on the other side were saying, it's time you went out with him. So the two of us went out the door and up the hill. And like, neither of us wanted to be doing what we were doing in one sense, but it was like, socially, it was expected of you. And there I was sitting on this lovely stone wall with her. And I started to move me lips towards her lips. And it was like the most scary journey I ever went in me life. So it was just like My first introduction to Donegal, if you like, was awakening as a human being.
Okay.
And the music in Donegal for me has always been women singers. Like, you have people like, what's her name? Mairéadh Ní Donnell, Triain Ní Donnell. You have a wonderful young singer, Megan McRory. There's Enya, Maya and Brennan. You know, there are so many women's voices, and so much of Donegal music is collectively women singing. And so this is where it all starts. It's kind of what they call a Walken song from Scotland. And that's, to me, the heart of Donegal music.
Okay, and it's Fear an Bhata, and this is Connie Dover singing it.
Aye.
Who's Connie Dover?
Well, she'd be a woman more within the Scottish tradition. But you see, I like playing it and thinking about it. It's the origin of so much music, energy, culture, imagination in Donegal.
Okay.
Is you know, Tasha Kangilta, Tasha Fitchafucha, it's all mixed up. Donegal is Scotland to some extent.
Yeah. Okay. So with that in mind, let's listen to Fear an Bhata by Connie Dover. I have a gap that I didn't kind of grow up with that kind of music, but you hear that there, the drums, and then it's primal, isn't it? Like, that's the tribal heartbeat kind of, it connects in with us in some way, doesn't it?
You can hear the ocean. You can hear the rhythm of the ocean.
Yeah.
And the Walken songs were songs that women used collectively when they were doing, for example, the wool, when they were kind of, the wool, you know, the tweed, when they'd be kind of slapping it as a collective thing to develop, to make it ready for the tweed and for the weaving.
Okay, and there was a rhythm.
And so you used a rhythm. And the rhythm could go on for maybe 40, 50 minutes, and everybody was doing it the same way. And you can hear in some of the great Donegal women singers, right up until the most modern would be Meghan McCrory, you can hear the same tradition of collective women singing. It's absolutely beautiful.
And a trance-like
it
quality.
It is trance-like,
well.
Yeah. Of course, needless to say, I do hear monks there as well.
Yeah, you know? of course.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I hear them everywhere.
You can't shake off the old religion and the priest in you, can you? So you're living, you've ended up back up in Donegal.
Well, yeah. I go up and write. I go up and write because I started getting too distracted. I have three cats. And one wife and two children. So it's like I thought maybe I should just get away to write on blank pages. It's very hard to concentrate for a new book, you know.
Yeah.
So just, it was some dream the two of us had, myself and Cathy, for years to have a little place in Donegal. And I go and write there and that's about it, yeah.
What are you writing?
I'm writing another book.
What's it about?
I'm 70 years old.
What's it about? It's such a...
Well, it's about, like, I write stories about my life and I use my ears and I tell stories that I hear from other people. But in general, I suppose, I do reflect on the meaning of life. You know, I'm not being as pretentious as to say I'm a philosopher, but I do really reflect on the nature of how my life has been skewered by fate. Like, at the centre of my life is fate. And it used to express itself in one traditional way. And then it expressed itself in Buddhist ways. And now it expresses itself back in Christian ways. And maybe in all the languages, all the languages of religion are just different languages that God uses. That's what I'd say now.
Yeah.
So I do try and bring that into the ordinary when I'm writing a story.
Yeah, echoes of what Victoria said about Shane there, like that he took it from the Taoism, the Hinduism, wherever it was coming from.
I think so.
Now, the next song, I think, goes back to your younger years as well, does it? Dicey Riley.
Yeah, this is my Cavan song in the sense that I lived in Glengevlin. It's a special mountain area in West Cavan. In the census of 1911, they had 700 Irish speakers, native Irish speakers in West Cavan. That's extraordinary. And it's still there in a kind of a unique sort of sense of music and joy. So you always had to sing after the pub or after the dance or after the party. Everybody sang. And my party piece, one of them, was Dicey Riley. It was Sweeney's Men at the time that sang it. And I just want to say one thing about it. Sweeney's Men were an innovative response to O'Riada. O'Riada's music, like, really blew everything up, right? The conventional notion of Irish folk was exploded.
Did it? So what year are we talking?
You're talking about 1965.
Yeah.
When O'Riada and then the early chieftains started to make orchestral versions of what we knew as folk music. And Sweeney's Men were one of the people who responded creatively to that. Andy Irvine, Minehan, a few of them, Dolan was one of them. They took the bazooka, for example. They took new instruments and new ways of sharing. And there's some connection between this music and what Shane McGowan was doing later. They were the first to kind of start to reinvent in a modern body way the old ballads.
Yeah. Yeah, and not disrespectful or killing the pure drop or the pure note or whatever.
This was an
evolution.
Brendan, what they were doing was coming out of a literary tradition. So, for example, Sweeney's Men is a reference to Miles Nagopolan's At Swim Two Birds. It's Sweeney who leaps over the trees in Antrim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's Sweeney's Men. And there's a link there, I think, with the kind of literary drive that you get in Shane McGowan. There's, in other words, for the past 40, 50 years, we haven't noticed that poets have been making music. Yeah. Shane McGowan is a great poet. There's another one, Lisa O'Neill, and her songs are poems. But listen to, not particularly Dicey Riley, but many of the things that Sweeney's Men did were stunningly innovative.
Okay, so anyway, here's your party piece, Dicey Riley by Sweeney's Men.
She walks along Fitzgibbon Street with an independent air, and then it's down by Summer Hill, and at the people stare. And now it's nearly a 1:30. Oh, I'll just drop in for another little one. And the heart of the roll is a dicey Riley. Oh, poor old dicey Riley has taken to the sup. And poor old Dicey Riley will never give it up. It's off each morning to the pop, and then she's in for another little drop. And the heart of the roll is Dicey Riley.
The thing is, again, there's no percussion in that, but we know the rhythm of it, don't we? I'd say if you weren't from Ireland, you mightn't understand where the rhythm was in that, but we were practically tapping our feet to it.
And there's also a fierce drivenness of the spoken word poem in it as well.
It's kind of
performed. You know, they say in Donegal, Abar Oran, say a song, speak a song.
Declare
a song. And Dicey Riley, a lot of those have that. Yeah, beautiful.
The you talked about the Scottish influence in Donegal, but I'd say a lot of when you go to the open houses there and you'd be called upon to sing your song, there was always an affinity with American music as well, wasn't there? And there was a give and take between Ireland and American music too.
There was a huge connection. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager having Donegal girlfriends who would talk about Charlie Pride, for example, huge in Donegal when I was a teenager. And I remember one time in West Cavan, again, because there was a lot of people emigrating to America and to Brooklyn, and people were coming home for the summer. Well, they'd bring home maybe a record. So Merle Haggard and Woody Guthrie and Hank Williams and Charlie Pride, they were all coming back as LPs into country areas. And then when I'd walk in, thinking as I came from Cavan Town, right, bourgeois suburbia, you're talking Brendan Boyer, Dickie Rock, and that was it. You know what I mean? We thought we were cool. God, you got to Glengevlin, and they were listening to all these wonderful American original country singers. Like Loretta Lynn, for example, she was hugely popular in Glen in the 1970s.
Right, so you had to go into deep country to find the American stuff.
But it was there.
It's a diversion of the American troops bringing the 45s into England and places like that, or rock and roll.
And
amazing, it's a simple thing of a fella bringing a bit of plastic from one place to another, like, given that everything is everywhere all the time now.
It's the way that music travels. I'll tell you a terrible thing, I shouldn't even say it. But a lot of music travelled in Ireland, in Connacht, from the Connacht Rangers. In other words, the British Army brought tunes from other places. And they also, everybody was in the Connacht Rangers, used to end up after 2 or 3 years to go home, and they'd start a flute band. So like around Loch Allen, I remember Paddy McManus once telling me, there was about 5 flute bands.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's a great tradition of flute music in Roscommon and in Arigna and in Leitrim.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a connection with the British Army as being the cultural colonizer, if you like, who brought the music in.
Like jazz came from brass instruments in the Civil War, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that annoyed the Leitrim people.
Home. Yeah.
They have no jazz in Leitrim.
So now, Hard Times Sung, that's an old American kind of Civil War era song.
I think it might be Civil War, actually, or it might be just Detroit, some sort of hard, working, poor underclass of workers. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
But I came across it originally when I was a child. My father had a couple of LPs by black singers like Paul Robeson, and that song was on it. And then at a very, very hard time in my life, I suppose, when I was leaving the official church and deciding to be a writer full time. It was an awful frightening decision to jump over that cliff. Do you know what I mean? And be a full time writer. Ah, it was. Going away on a bicycle, selling your Datsun Cherry and heading off on a bike to Dublin. What madness is in me, you'd be saying.
So the priesthood was kind of a good solid job, real, to like a job in the bank, wasn't
Well,
it?
My mother, my mother would have thought it was a good job, But I think that it was the hardest time in my life, and I remember listening to that song as I was going out the door. And the expression in the song It says hard times will come again no more. And yet it's a song you sing when you're in hard times, because it's defiant against the reality. And that's a beautiful spiritual condition. It's like, even in death, we are in joy. And I could hear it from Victoria earlier, a defiance of death. Death be not proud.
Yeah.
You know, that we have within us some eternal flame of love, of forgiveness, of hope. And so even if things are awfully oppressing, whether it's physical or whether it's mental, and I would have experienced both, you know, depression and physical stuff, you sing your prayers when you sing hard times. And you say hard times will not come again, even though you're in the depths of despair, you hope.
Okay, so we must not lie down and take it. We must stay defiant always.
Stay joyful.
Stay joyful. Yeah.
Defiant, not necessarily. Actually go with it and release and surrender very often, sometimes to even to depression. But to understand that underneath it, there is something within you that's joyful and will hold you, and you will not be lost.
Is it always there? It is. It's there somewhere.
I haven't experienced anything that others have, and none of us have experienced death, and we all will, but I don't know. But in the little bit I have experienced, I have clung to that idea of joy that is within, and it has sustained me, and it gives me joy.
Okay, and this is Eleanor Shanley singing the song.
Well, I had to take Eleanor Shanley because it's the Leitrim version, and it's I looked at Emmylou Harris and a few others, and they're not as good as this one, really.
You'd need to be from Leitrim to understand hard times, would you? Brilliant. Hard times will come again no
hard
more.
Time.
And that was Eleanor Shanley. She's with Dave Donnan, and she's also with the Harlem Gospel Choir. But listen, it all fit together perfectly.
That's Harlem.
It? There's gospel in Irish people, isn't
that's
there?
Right. There is, surely. Yeah. That's Harlem meets Leitrim.
Speaking of gospel and the priest not being gone from you, you reflect sometimes nicely on the time of year. So I suppose Advent now on the in the church calendar, but there's a particular time of year. What's the vibe now would be at this time of year?
Well, Advent can be a lovely time to prepare for Christmas, in the sense of just reflecting on the story. And I think that we are beginning to reframe the story of Jesus. We're beginning to reimagine the whole sense of what the sacred is. And I think we're more open to Islam, and we're more open to Buddhism, and we're more open to Hindu and Judaism. And you realise when you look at them all, like the Sufis used to say, they're all different languages. Like God is just speaking different languages. So in the Christian one, it is that in Jesus you will find complete forgiveness and you will find complete peace. And that thing of peace in your own heart, if there's one big thing I take from Jesus, it is where they said to him, how do you pray? He says, go into the room in your heart, close the door, and in that silence, you will hear the Father. And that gives you peace, no matter whether you're in hospital, you have anxiety, there is a peace within your own heart that you will get. And that's the story of Christmas. And when they say peace, you know, the Christmas is like the angels. Christmas is like the angels singing peace to people of goodwill, not even to Christians or Jews, but not Muslims, but to people of goodwill, to all humans that have goodwill, there will be peace. That's the message of Christmas. And like, I also think that at the moment, there's so much anger kind of rising in people in the West, in Ireland, in different things that have happened in the past 2 or 3 weeks. It's like we're not given this space to put a brake on our emotions and control our consciousness and say, is there peace inside me? Because if there's peace inside me, there will be peace outside.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, that's nice. A few people texting in to point out that Terry Woods of the Pogues was in Sweeney's Men.
That's actually true.
And he had Steel Eye Span as well, I think.
And then there was Terry and Gay Woods as a couple. There's an extraordinary kind of mixture of the Sweeney's Men original trio, I think it was, and then so many different people went through that. And as you said, actually, there is a real link with the Pogues.
Yeah, and you have picked, now you've picked Rainy Night in Soho, but as sung by Mary McPartlin.
Yeah, because I suppose she was a dear friend. She passed away during COVID and she made a beautiful rendition of it.
Okay, let's have a listen.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the days. And I've cried for all your troubles, smiled at your funny little ways. We watched our friends grow up together, and we watched them as they fell. Some of them fell into heaven, some of them fell into hell. Hearts that shelter from a shower, and I stepped into your arms on a rainy night in Soho. The wind was whistling all its charms.
That'd get you, wouldn't it?
There is a heaven, and Shane McGowan is in it, and Mary McPartlin is in it. May they be forever at peace and happy.
And speaking of peace, it's a kind of last song, an obvious choice, but kind of a radical one as well, in a way. John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Well, this is just to say, I'll tell you a story first.
Yeah.
Again, 1969 August, I was in the Gaeltacht in Aran Mór in Donegal, and the fires were lit in Ulster in the start of the Troubles, and people from Bombay Street were down in Cavan as refugees in St Pat's College, and there was burnings in Coal Island and Dungiven and all across the north. People burned out of their houses, and there was children of those houses in the Gaeltacht with me, and they were so distressed, they were so troubled. It was the start of the whole thing. And what did we do? John Lennon's song was fashionable. And we, in a mad rush of wisdom, had a kind of a happening in the hall. And everybody came in together. And we turned the song into Irish and sang On Major Tall Rogin Turshans the Shiacon. It's a beautiful chant.
How did it work in with the lyric? Did you sing it there?
It was On me jatala ragin tur shansta shia con.
All right.
Yeah, no, it worked. Yeah. But it was like, in some sense, it was like a prayer. It was like a collective prayer to create peace. That if you have peace in your heart, you'll be able to deal with conflict. You'll be able to deal with whatever the politics is coming at you. And instead of like losing your whole emotions and rage on TikTok or on the streets, you know, be at peace. That's Christmas message. It's the Christian message.
And it was John Lennon's message. A lot of people are finding it very hard at the moment to kind of find a way to be with all the stuff that's going on in the world. They don't want to turn away.
Yeah.
But equally, it's
appalling. It's hard to talk about it. But in some sense, my only strategy in life is rather than be talking about, and this happened to me, I lived in Fermanagh for 3 or 4 years of the Troubles, but rather than talking about the conflict political issues, try and create within yourself a peace that affects people.
Okay. Michael Harding, there are days when talking to Michael Harding is the perfect thing to do. And I think today was one of those days. Thank you so much. And your podcast is still going. And where can people find that, wherever they get their podcast?
The podcast talks all this stuff about religion. It's what I say privately. It's a little kind of one-to-one personal podcast, but you can get it on patreon.com or go to my Twitter account and you'd follow the links from there. And it's about an hour a week I do. And yeah, I love, because I'm allowed to share privately on that podcast things like that I wouldn't normally say in a newspaper or I wouldn't normally say in a book. It's like my faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Michael Harding. We'll finish today so with the English language version of John and Yoko, and give peace a chance. Thank you, Michael.